comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. Well, it is good to have our website back up and running. A great many of you, numbering, I would say, in the millions, have been sitting around wondering, what happened? Where'd the show go? Is he out of business? Did he die? Now, some of you didn't, because you're in the know. And the reason you're in the know is because you had subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, and you got the notices we sent out. And you, in those notices, there was a link that you could click that would take you to an alternate site where you could see and hear the Kevin Smith Show. So we've been broadcasting, and those of you who missed it all, well, I always say, where's the genius in not subscribing to the K-Files e-zine? And look, I don't scold you, but, you know, if you're in the dark, it's by choice. It's just by choice. And you can choose to not be in the dark. You can choose to be in the know. And you do that by subscribing to the K-Files e-zine. We were not hacked, and our site was not taken down. So what happened? Well, don't you wish you had been subscribed to the K-File so you would know? That sounds like a trick Bob Brady would pull, doesn't it? What happened was our domain name, kevinsmithshow.com, expired. I had not received a notice that I needed to renew it. I finally tracked down that they did send a notice to an alternate email address that I never use unless we have an emergency. And when we had the emergency and I had to start using that alternate email, I found it in there. But the real question is, why did they send it there? And then the next question, or the next thing that comes up, is the answer. And that's because instead of getting to charge me $10.95 for a renewal, they got to charge me $179.94. Well, welcome to American business. We're used to that now, aren't we? I wonder if they got bailout money. I don't know whether they did or not, but it really would not surprise me at all if they got bailout money. It sounds like some of the bailout crooks that we've heard about. Anyway, it's back up. I recommend, if you haven't subscribed to the K-Files, don't put yourself through this darkness again. You see, I had the mailing list for the K-Files, so I could use an alternate means to mail out to them and tell them all about it. And you could have known, too. You can fix that right now. Click where it says K-Files and subscribe. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. me this evening is Dave Corso. Dave Corso is someone who has lived, I would say, a very, very interesting life. And I think he would tell you, as I will. People tell me often that I've lived a very interesting life, and I always say, yeah, but it puts a lot of miles on you. I think Dave would say that and maybe more about it. But let me tell you a little bit about him. Dave served in the U.S. Navy. You've heard of Aaron McCollum. Some of you have also heard of Duncan O'Finian. These are two people that have gone public stating that they were in a program called the Super Soldier Program. And they have shared, Aaron has shared on this show, we have not yet had the opportunity to talk with Duncan, but we hope that we shall be able to talk with Mr. O'Finian. But you've heard Aaron talk about the things that he was involved in. And take a step up from there in rank. Maybe not in military rank, I'm not sure about that, but organizationally, a step up, and there's someone in charge of the unit that Aaron McCollum was in. There's someone in charge of the unit that Duncan O'Finian was in. The someone, Dave Corso. Dave, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Good evening, Kevin, and hello to all your many listeners in the countries wherever you may be.
Dave, you went into the U.S. Navy in 1959, am I correct?
Yes, you are.
At that time, the President of the United States was General Dwight David Eisenhower. The world was changing rapidly, and We were in the beginning phases of what came to be known as the Cold War. And you entered the Navy. Tell us a little bit about how it is that you went into the Navy and wound up in the Super Soldier Program.
Oh, I need to go back to when I was 6 years old, and I had all these memories of time I was 6 till I was 12 of being with my uncle, learning how to be a peddler because he was a peddler supreme. Well, I need to digress just a little bit from that. My brother, God love him, who died in 1993, my oldest brother, he brought me home when I was 6 years old, a Marine Corps target rifle, and proceeded to spend time with me, teaching me how to shoot. Well, after a few days, I was hitting the bullseye consistently at 100 yards, which I didn't consider too bad. And, you know, this is no big deal. He says, it will be. And I said, yeah, right. Well, anyways, I had memories of being with my uncle, and how I got into the program had to be through my older brother, because he had to be in that same earlier program, probably under the auspices of Paperclip, which everyone says was a good program, but, you know, right. Anyhow, I need to come forward in time to when my son was 12 years old. He and I were fishing one time up in the middle of Strawberry Lake. He looks at me and says, in that quizzical tone of his, Daddy, what'd you do in Vietnam? What'd you really do? Because at times, man, he said, you're just really weird.
Kids have a way, don't they? They just cut right to the heart of it.
And believe me, that's the night nightmare started, because I started having dreams. I started having flashbacks. I started having things happen to me that I couldn't explain. And I said, this is really weird. So we fast forward now to my mother was, old. Golly, she was in her late 80s. I said, Mom, I want to talk to you. She says, talk. I said, I have these memories of being with Uncle Ed. She snickered and said, you were never with your Uncle Ed, but as you get older, you'll figure it out. I said, what's that mean? She says, you'll figure it out. And then she showed me this journal she had kept of all the time I was in the service. In that journal, she had written dates, times, and places of where I was, and things that I did, who I was with. And I said, how in the world did you get this information? She looked at me and snickered and said, I have a psychic link with you I don't have with anybody else, not the rest of my kids, just you. Well, I said, and then I got that look. It says, don't ask no more questions. You'll figure it out. And I've started to put it together, and people, believe me or not, I really could care less. It's just, I invited them to come live in my body for a month. I guarantee they'll commit suicide.
Why do you think you did not remember this big chunk of time until your son asked you about Vietnam?
I wish I could answer that, but I really can't. Just that I had, when I was married to Stephen's, my son's mother, one morning, helicopters came over because they were spraying, allegedly, stuff for some kind of a bug they had in California at the time. And I remember pushing her out of bed and saying, incoming! And as she bounced off the floor, she said it not so nicely, those are just helicopters spraying. I said, yeah, but they sound just like UEs. She didn't like it too well.
Well, I would think not. All right, now, you were... Now, 1959, you go into the U.S. Navy.
Yep.
Since all these years have passed, you've now begun to put things together, things that you had no memory of that you got in flashbacks, and it takes you back to when you were 6 years old, and you had these flashbacks about being with your Uncle Ed peddling things. Okay. Now, your mom tells you you were never with your Uncle Ed. And then she says, you'll figure it out. Have you figured it out? Do you know what the answer is?
I figured part of it out.
What have you figured out?
I figured that that's when they had me for essentially summer school. My talents are entirely different than what Duncan's and Aaron's and several other people we know who were in the program. My talent is to take parts and pieces from that mosaic, build you a very complete, accurate picture. And that's essentially what I'm doing now. Trying to put together what's happening, what's going on, who's what where. And it gets really interesting.
Do you find that you can have maybe just one or two pieces of the puzzle and supply essentially a complete picture from that?
Yeah. And I'm working on one of those little things right now, trying to figure out where this whole group is being infiltrated from. And I'm pretty sure I have a pretty good idea, but at this point in time, I'm not free to go into that.
Okay, well, let's talk about, we'll come back to that. Let's talk about the Super Soldier program. What have you been able to find out about your duties with Super Soldier?
Well, when I look at my altar map, which thank you to some very good friends. I put together my altar map. Just a moment, let me find it. I essentially have 8 different altars. Altar 6 is the primary altar. Altar A is a programmer. He feeds data to B, who feeds it to 6, who feeds it to 5, who feeds it to B. B's a targeter. Now, what 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 do, I don't know yet.
Okay, now when you say altar, what are you describing? What do you mean when you say altar?
Alternate personalities that they could call out, that they can trigger. Now apparently most of my alters have merged or acquiesced into 6. Because one night I was sitting here, and Aaron was here, and he said all of a sudden I sat differently, I talked differently. When we were in a chat room on different computers, he said even my chat was different. And yet I was fully conscious that I was here. So apparently the alters that are merged that I'm aware of, they can take over when they need to assist me to get something done.
And yet you are fully conscious as Dave Corso that of everything that you're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
Now what's even more interesting is Duncan and I were down in St. Thomas 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I guess, maybe 5. We went down on a Friday and came back on a Friday because he had some business to take care of down there. And Thursday evening, we're sitting there, and I said, where have we been? And all of a sudden, I see this deer eyes and headlight look, and he says, oh, my God, we got missing time. I said, where have we been, and what did we do? Because Tuesday afternoon, we had walked down to the market area, and it's a fabulous place to go on St. Thomas Island. It's all the natives who live there, that's where they do most of their shopping and stuff. And there was this absolutely gorgeous woman who was about 6 foot tall. She looked at me and she says, Dave, I haven't seen you in 20 years. Where have you been? And I said, you know me? She says, oh, I know you. And she says, I haven't seen you, Duncan, since you had that big afro. And I looked at Duncan, and he looked at me, and I turned around, and she was gone. But people down there knew us. That was a very rude awakening for me. Like, I've done things that I don't know about.
And been places you don't remember.
Oh, yeah. And then there's an island to the south of St. Thomas, and that island held a fascination for me, and I wanted to go out and take a look around it. We couldn't. So we were sitting in a bar one night, and I'm drinking my usual Coca-Cola or whatever I drink. It's non-alcoholic. And I said, bartender, you know us. He said, yep, know you both. I says, what about that island down there? He said, you guys spent a lot of time there a long time ago. He said, and that's all I'm going to say. And when I first met Duncan, which was, oh, good Lord, probably close to 8 years ago, we had a friend who has since passed on named John Morrow. John Morrow was an interesting person. When he first came into my computer shop that I had then, I wanted to kill him, and I did not know why. I could not figure out why this man who I had never met, chubby, rotund, gentle gentleman, why I wanted to kill him. So many years later, after I had closed my shop, John was sitting here one Saturday afternoon, and I said, John, let's you and I have a serious talk. He said, what about? I said, when you first came into my computer shop 3 years ago, I wanted to kill you when I first saw you. And the look in his, he turned ashen white. He said, why? I said, because you know things you haven't told me. I said, it took you as a big surprise when Duncan and Sean and I knew each other, didn't it? He said, oh, yeah. I said, we've been together before. He says, I know. I says, and what about Lana? I said, she's a watcher, isn't he? Isn't she? Again, he turned ashen white. She was a psychic who was here for some time, and she was Celtic. Well, I'm Celtic on my mother's side, Scotch-Irish, with a whole lot of Sicilian on top of that. But I find out that when I'm together with my unit, or the unit, or a unit, my psychic powers are enhanced greatly. When I sit here in my home, my animals shield me.
By the way, let me say, folks, when he says my animals, one of his animals is an absolutely splendid wolf. Absolutely luxurious wolf. You just got to see this wolf. And he's beautiful. But how do they shield you?
Wolf spirit is the most powerful of all the animal spirits. And when I got this now 135-pound gentle giant laying over here on the floor, he weighed a pound and a half and had a staph infection in his right front leg. And I went to great lengths to make sure he got healed and he was healthy and he had the right foods to help him get over this. And his appreciation of me absolutely astounds me. He is so gentle with canines that I have several canines live here in the house and several in the backyard and two more out in the cage. He will not eat dog food in the house because he knows that the smaller dogs and Bubba, who's my Austin Shepherd Border Collie, eat in the house. He'll wait and he'll let me know when he wants to go out and eat.
All right, we have to take a break. And we'll pick up right there, Dave, when we come back. Folks, don't go away. More with Dave Corso and the Super Soldier program right after this. And welcome back. My guest this evening, Dave Corso. Dave, you were explaining about how the animals protect you at home.
I have three wolves, four half-breeds, an Aussie Shepherd Border Collie, a Jack Russell, and a Yorkshire Terrier. The wolves can put up a protective barrier, and they can protect me anywhere I am. They shield me from a lot of paranormal activity. When I'm in my house, it's like I'm in a vault. And when Aaron was here, the first thing he said when he stepped in the house was, oh my God. He said, it's like pressure's been lifted off my head. I said, welcome to my home.
All right, now, you were in charge of some super soldier units, as I understand. What sort of things, sort of, to the extent that you can, I know some things may be classified that you can't talk about, to the extent that you can, describe for us, what is the Super Soldier Program? What in the world are they doing?
The Super Soldier Program is a program where we go out and we do things that you don't write home about. Anything the government sent me to do, they had plausible deniability on.
Do they refer to this program as Super Soldier?
They may now. I just when I finished up school for to be a radar technician, they there was a young gentleman who came down. He says, "Corso," he said, "Stephen Corso." And I said, "What?" He said, "There's a Navy officer wants to see you." I said, "Describe him." I said, "Oh, I wonder what Mr. Freeman wants." So I went down, talked to Mr. Freeman, and yep, he says, "I got a job for you." And I said, "Do I have a choice?" He said, "No." He says, "Go find 10 more like yourself, or 9 more like yourself." So I went down and found other erstwhile individuals who wanted excitement that were not part of the Super Soldier program, as far as I know. And I found 4 of them, 10 of them, 9 of them, 8 of them. I says, "I'll take U8, U9. And we were off and running. And never had time to look back.
And they sent you to do what sorts of operations?
We did our first, after we went through training at different various sundry military establishments like Fort Benning, Georgia for jump school and things like that. We got our first assignment, which is, there was two code clerks and their families were defecting to Russia. And the orders were, bring the families home. So we did.
Did you have to go into Russia to do that?
Went into West Germany.
And so what, basically kidnap the families and ship them home?
No, two of us were standing by the door when there was 2 shots through the windows and both guys fell out, slumped over on their breakfast table. And I said, "Now you have a choice. You can join your husbands or you can go back home."
I see.
They all chose to go back home with us. What happened to them? I haven't got the faintest idea. But it took me a long time to understand that the blood I spilt doesn't rest on my head or my hands or the head and hands of the team. It rests ultimately on the heads and hands of those that ordered that fiasco and that mess that we're in now. Just like these guys can't get it through their head, the things they did. Granted, war's inhumane. I think war's the stupidest thing man's ever invented. But that's another story for another time. But it can't rest in our head and our hands because we're following our orders, whether they be verbal or written. An order is an order. Did I ever challenge any of my orders? No, because to me it was fun. I'm about as bizarre as you can get when it comes to fun.
So, now, did you ever have any super soldiers under your command?
Duncan, Aaron. And yes, there has to be time travel involved in it. There's too many other people I have met that have memories of me, particularly teaching classes. And we did a lot. Obviously, we did a lot of work in South America because people have South America or perhaps over in the Far East in the jungles that have memories of me that I can't deny. Because how can I deny their memories? It's their memory. Even though it involves me, a lot of times I'll get a light behind the door, but I can't push the door open yet. Is that wishful thinking on my part? Good God, I hope not. I have enough nightmares as it is.
When did you leave military service?
October the 15th of 1968.
Now, were you in the Super Soldier program for most of that time?
Yeah, I had to be. Even though my official military record says I was on five destroyers, or four destroyers, a combat store ship, and a swift boat detachment.
Do you remember being on any of those ships?
I remember being at the swift boat base. We had a swift boat that was in particular set up for us that no one else was allowed to use. It was turned over to the South Vietnamese after we took a lot of stuff off of it.
So in 1968, you left. Did you, after you left, did you have memories of where you had been, what you had done, and there were just big gaps in it, or was it all gone?
I think I do, but the times have to, when I look at my DD-214, and knowing what I've learned now since I got out, I have to wonder about which one is really real, and right now I'm going to go with my memories, not what's on my DD-214.
But why do you choose to do that?
Because it just feels more likely.
All right, now the Super Soldier program, whatever it's actually called, who runs it? Who's behind it?
Ultimately, it would have to be a corrupt group within the intelligence agencies of the world government.
So you think this program is being run without the knowledge and blessing of the U.S. military top brass?
Oh, I think they're part of it. I know they are.
How do you know that?
Because of little things like the training they're going, putting the Army through now, where they've asked him, if you were told by your senior officers to shoot American civilians, could you do it? If they say yes, they get ahead. If they say no, they don't. We're 4.5 steps into socialism. People just aren't smart enough to realize it.
You know, there are people who just heard you say that are right now thinking, oh, come on, our military doesn't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, I have confirmed with several Marines that is a question that they are asked. That is a question they are asked when they go into the Marine Corps. Now, I don't know about other branches of the service, but I...
Army's doing the same thing.
Okay.
Their training reflects that now. I just read an interesting article on that someplace.
All right, now, this you had Duncan in your group. You had Aaron McCollum in your group. What sort of super soldier talents were they in your group to perform? I mean, I know, I think it's Duncan that has a phenomenally fast strike with his hand and develops incredible force. And it's been measured. It's way beyond the normal human limits. I believe that's Duncan. But what were their skills that they were there to use? Were they psychic? Were they physical? What were they there for?
Primarily for physical. Contributions to whatever the mission required. Duncan's an excellent shot.
How about you?
He has his own spotter, which was also a PT graduate, if you want to use that term. And
how about you? Are you an excellent shot?
Yep.
What about Aaron?
Yep. You're cutting out.
What about Aaron?
Duncan is a superb shot.
Yeah, what about Aaron McCollum?
Aaron has to be a very good shot. He and I have spent a lot of time just sitting here talking, and it's interesting the things we end up talking about.
Such as?
Well, Aaron was in an entirely different program called Seagate. And Duncan Spotter was also part of that Seagate project. And that involves going to other worlds, using water as a transportation medium.
Okay, explain that to us a little bit. How do they go to other worlds using water as transportation?
I have no conscious knowledge of that. But apparently there is, when you go into the Seagate, they program it like you would a Stargate. But you go through the water to get into it. That's why Aaron has such an affinity with salt water.
What other worlds have they been to? What have they told you about other worlds that they've been to?
They can't really recall.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Dave Corso this evening, and Dave, you mentioned that time travel had to be involved in what you were doing. Why do you say that?
Because two of the people that I'm aware of have memories of me before they were born into this life cycle of doing missions with me. To me, the only plausible explanation would have to be there's time travel involved.
Now, I asked, when Aaron was on the show, I asked him this question. I want to ask it of you. We have heard stories from a lot of different sources, different witnesses around that have been involved in the MK Ultra training. We've heard stories about some type of teleportation between here and Mars. Do you know anything about that?
Unfortunately, I don't. But then again, if it shows up in a science fiction program, it's a reality somewhere.
You think so?
With all my heart and soul, I do.
Why do you think that?
Well, if you stop and think about it just for a moment, how else can they rub our nose into what they think we don't know? They being the mythical powers that be.
So you think it's their way of doing disclosure?
Yes.
All right, now...
If you mention that to anybody, oh, that's just a science fiction program. Okay. And you say, well, what if it's real? Well, that'd let us know about it. I said, would they? Perhaps they just did and you can't see it.
Okay, let's talk about a science fiction movie that is all the rage right now and has been for several weeks, Avatar. In Avatar, you have humans. They're in a special program, and in this program, They through cloning or whatever, there has been developed a biological body that's it sort of looks human, but it's a lot bigger and faster, and it has features that are not human. And what they do, they call that the avatar. And then what the humans do is they get into this coffin-like structure. They're wearing a headband. Lights begin to blink and computers begin to work. And their mind or their soul or whatever you want to call it travels into that avatar body. And then they live through the avatar in this alien world. That seems pretty far-fetched. Are you saying that because it's in a science fiction movie, we can bet it's happening?
It would have to be. Other information that's come my way from various sources indicates that, in fact, that's how they're building the new super soldiers. They're actually avatars. They grow the body, and then they transfer essentially the soul of somebody into it after it has been worked over.
All right. And what happens if the human's mind has been transferred to the avatar? The avatar goes and does the mission, whatever it is, and gets killed. Is that the end of the human?
That I don't know, but it would seem fairly logical to me that, yes, that's what would happen. But then again, how many people get pulled into that program as it is that never make it through?
What do you mean, never make it through?
They end up, for whatever reason, the mind goes south. They have problems. I mean, people to this New World Order are so expendable that whatever it takes to do, they do. If they have to lose 1,000 people to get one, well, they're just fodder, you know. They're expendable, we'll throw them away and we're done.
All right, now, in this next hour, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us, and I'm sure people are going to have a lot of questions about a lot of stuff that they've heard you say. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that we can prove that, and we're not trying to, but let's say that we can prove that everything you said is true. Now, having assumed that, you have said some things here tonight that, provided they are absolutely accurate, I would think there are some people that absolutely would not want you on the air talking about this stuff. And I would think that it might be a bit dangerous for you to be public like this. Have you given that any thought?
Sure. They'll just say I'm crazy. But like I say, if you think I'm crazy, come and try and live in my body and do what I need to do for a month. If you can stand the pain, you can have it.
Were you ever injured in action?
Yeah. My knees. Was I shot? No. But I can relate to you something that happened that really blew my mind. It was one time we were out and we got into a heavy firefight. And when we got back to our barracks, I look at my fatigues and I had bullet holes through both legs. Two bullet holes. I had no bullet holes through my body.
So the bullet holes were through the legs of the trousers?
And I wore tailored fatigues.
Okay.
Now, I had pictures of things we had done. I had them in a locked locker box inside of a trunk inside of a closet in my house when I lived in California. Now, my family and I used to enjoy going four-wheeling because I had a very strong Jeep, and I know how to drive. We come home one weekend, and I said, wait a minute, someone's been in this house. And my wife said, you're crazy. And I said, am I? This horsehair is not where it was. So we looked around the house and couldn't see anything. A couple of days later, I said I wanted to get something out of my locker box. So I opened up, unlocked the trunk, went down to the bottom, took the stuff out of the way. Pictures I had, uniforms I had, other memorabilia I had from Vietnam was no longer there.
Who do you think would have done that?
If I knew, I'd just ask, you know, give the shit back. It's been that long. I have no idea who it was. But they were very good, but they tripped up on horsehair.
All right. What would be the motivation for taking that?
In case I ever wanted to use it for anything other than as proof of things, I wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm. So it was just sort of taking ammunition out of your gun, so to speak.
Exactly.
Have you been able to, I mean, are there other remnants, like you had the photographs, do you have other remnants or keepsakes from any of these missions?
Unfortunately, no. I've moved probably 8 times
mm-hmm.
in my life. And in those 8 times, things get mislit, misplaced, mislaid, whatever.
Well, I know that's true. I have moved 33 times. All right, we'll be back right after this break, folks. Welcome back. We'll open the phone lines in just a moment, and the flash message option is working again tonight for those who are outside the USA and outside of Canada. Now, I want to ask Dave this question, and then we'll open up the telephone lines. You said earlier that you would, when you were leading these super soldier units, that you would do whatever you were ordered to do. Where would these orders come from?
From my handler.
Was your handler in the military, or was your handler a suit?
Nope, senior Navy officer. He was also my brother's handler.
Okay. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines. The telephone numbers are appearing on your screen if you're watching our TV channel. For those of you who are listening, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message if you don't want to make the international call. However, if you want to call, then our main number works anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889. To the telephone, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
All right.
Evening, Jerry.
Hi, Dave. Dave, you know, and Kevin, if there is time travel supposedly involved in this, you know, unless some good guys, you would call them, I guess, on our side, to undo what they're doing, wouldn't it be game over? I mean, you know, they could manipulate anything. I mean, you know, everything would be their way at this point in time, would it not?
I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
I think people would like to think they are, but I have a feeling that there's more involved in this than just human beings.
Okay, expound upon that.
I am of the opinion that there are aliens involved in this. I mean, I've read in several places where the Germans went to Mars in 1942. Now, does that seem possible to me? Why not? There are so many things going on that people, they're flooded with useless information. And I, for one, don't watch any mainstream media news because that's less than half of what's going on.
I have one more question for Dave, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave, would it be possible?
Hang on a second.
Did you say hang on a sec?
Yeah. He's having to deal with his wolves.
Actually, I thought you were barking.
That's the inside dogs. My nephew just got here.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead, Terry.
Hey, Dave, I was wondering, would it be possible, since how a lot of you guys know each other, that you got, and you're so well trained to get away from these guys and actually get together and create a super force for humanity and turn on your creators? And I'll take that off air.
Okay, thanks for the call.
That's an interesting question. I don't see how, with now they're into the fifth generation super soldier, essentially the Avatar. And allegedly, at the Awaken Aware confab in September in California, Bill Ryan made a statement that, in fact, two of these guys can lift a M1 Abrams tank, which weighs, 50 tons or something?
And two of them can lift it?
Lift it and throw it out of the way.
Unaided, just with their hands.
Just with their hands. Now, that has to cause all kinds of problems with their skin. But, like Bill said, he said, I've got information here about some of these things that I just can't go into at this time. Which left me wondering about what can he go into.
And this was Bill who?
Bill Ryan.
Okay. All right. Project Camelot.
Yeah, now projectcamelot.com.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the telephone caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hi, and hello, Dave. Dave, hi. I want to ask you a question. Is DARPA part of the Super Soldier Project?
Is what?
DARPA.
No, that has more to do with technology that they can use to...
Would you know anybody that goes through
things?
DARPA that was taken as a child as well?
Beg pardon, ma'am?
Would you know anybody from that program?
It's breaking up, Kevin.
Well, DARPA's not a program, Haya. It's an organization. And under it are probably thousands of programs. So would one of them be involved in taking a child and training the child? It's quite possible.
It's possible, but DARPA, I wouldn't think so under DARPA, because it's sort of out in the open a little bit.
Yeah, and Haya, DARPA, for example, is ultimately who is behind the development of HARP.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're more into the technology.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they just took you as a child for a super soldier, and they trained you very early, I gather.
Project Talent, yes. I was 6 years old.
Do your parents know this? Are they deceived?
Oh,
are your parents told about this?
Yeah, okay. Hi, you're going to have to give him a chance to answer, because as he starts to answer, you're talking on top of him. Do your parents, did they know about all of this?
Pardon me, there was noise here. I couldn't hear you.
Did your parents know about all of this?
They had to. They had to know. Like my mother said, she had a psychic link with me. And when I asked her about my summers, she said, you were never with your Uncle Ed. My dad wouldn't talk about it.
Okay.
Did your parents want this to happen to you, children, or were they forced into it?
That's a good question. I didn't know enough then to ask that question.
Okay.
But because I was the second one in the family to be part of that, I don't think they really had much to say about it.
All right, Haya, thank you for the call. And now you're...
I'm on a phone interview, Jeff.
Your parents, when you say they didn't have much to say about it, but there's also this. Your mother talks about having a psychic link with you.
Yeah.
Was she pretty psychic?
She had to have been. I mean, when I was on top secret and above operations around the world, she had a journal that had where I was, what I was doing, and who I was with.
Mm.
Every time I got hurt, she had a special notation about that.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. 623-444-5889 is the main number. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA or you live outside of Canada, you can, if you wish, use our flash message option. You go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click the link that says flash message, and you'll be able to send me a message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Hi, Dave. This is Tracy from Canada.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, David. Sorry for hanging up. My line got really... you're hard to hear tonight.
My U.S. government audience for this show alone is larger than most internet radio stations' audience. And if you look at the list on my site of the top 25 countries in terms of my audience, number 13 is Secret European Computers.
Oh. Is what?
Secret European Computers.
We're listening? Oh, wow.
Yeah, what's your question?
Here's my question. With all the Earth changes going on right now, Dave, do you think that people who have been in these projects are now being called back? Because all of a sudden, a lot of people are coming out, which I think is great. I'm just wondering if we're coming out for a reason and perhaps not ours.
I'm having trouble hearing her.
Okay. Say it again, Tracy. Speak up good and loud.
Okay. David, do you think people that were in these projects are now waking up faster than usual, or do you think they're being woken up on purpose?
I would like to think people are being awakened because more of us are coming out in the open about this. But by the same token, I honestly don't know, but I hope it's not for their purposes. But I got a feeling deep down inside that it may well be that.
Do you think it could have anything to do with the earth changes?
Oh, I think the earth changes that are going through now, I think, are due to the sun and man and his mischievous harp machine.
All right. Tracy, I thank you for the call. Very interesting questions. From Columbia, Peter writes, David, were the super soldiers ever used against aliens or non-humans? And if so, what happened?
Well, my group wasn't. But I understand some of the fifth generation super soldiers are to be used against not only the American people, but against other alien races when they try to come here.
Okay. And these are the avatars, right?
Yes.
All right, Bob in Australia has this to say. He says, hi, Kevin and Dave. I tend to believe him, speaking about you, when he spoke about the avatars. I think the military have been experimenting with that technology for some years now, and it's called memory transference for use on the battlefield. I also can stand the pain, Dave, and I can live with it. Now, see, that sounds like somebody that may have been in the program in Australia.
For some reason, you're breaking up again.
Well, for some reason is we have people that don't want the audience to be able to hear this interview. And so they're breaking your... We hear you fine. We hear you just fine. Okay, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. That's the number to call if you have a question or a comment for Dave Corso. In the United States or in Canada, the telephone number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Are you there? Are you listening to the radio? If you call me on the phone, listen to the phone. There is a delay, okay? So if you're listening to your radio, you won't hear me say, caller, are you there? Until I've already hung up, all right? 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. What I said, Dave, about this flash message from Australia is it sounds very much like someone maybe that was involved in such a program. And he says that the Avatar program is technology they've been experimenting with for years, and they call it memory transference for use on the battlefield. And he says, I also can stand the pain, Dave, and I can live with it. So it sounds like someone maybe that has been involved with what you've been involved with.
Well, they've been involved all over the world. But I did notice, you know, we talked about that earlier today when you and I talked. And that's about foreign armies being stationed here. Tuesday night, I had to go down and pick up a friend coming in from another country. And when I was waiting, I noticed there were several casually dressed people speaking German who had the German military look and attitude about them.
And what do you surmise from that?
They were there checking things out.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name's Jake.
Hi.
And I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hello, Jake. Are you a first-time caller?
Jake. Yes, I am.
Well, Jake, you know, first-time callers here. If you're a first-time caller and you tell me that, you get some applause. Okay, Jake, what's on your mind?
All right. Well, I wanted to talk to Dave because he talks about certain psychic abilities, and I wanted to know what specific psychic abilities he is attuned to. And I also wanted to know if he could share some information about different ways individuals who are more attuned to having these psychic abilities can hone their abilities or progress in that way.
All right. What do you say, Dave? What psychic abilities do you have?
Mine is sensing things and people. Almost like remote viewing, but not quite the same. The ability to, like I say, look at a rough mosaic and draw you a final picture of what's going on. The ability to make things sort of magically happen. Now, what do I mean by that? That's a good question, because I would like to understand all that I know.
All right. So Jake also wants to know, what advice would you have or pointers could you give to someone about developing their own psychic abilities?
What he needs to do in this is find a Native American tribe that has shaman that would be willing to teach him.
All right. Jake, thanks for the call. Good questions. Glad to hear from Philadelphia tonight. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can send a flash message. If you're in the USA or Canada, use the telephones, okay? We have a flash message from another one from Australia, and he's got, this is from Tony. He's got a question for you. He wants to know if you're on active duty now with the program. And also, many thanks to Jerry Wills for letting us know about your website being down. He's a top bloke like yourself, Kevin. All the best from Tony in Australia. Thank you, Tony. Are you on active duty now in this Super Soldier program?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you think you could be activated?
Well, after what happened down in St. Thomas, there's no doubt in my mind.
So how does that affect your life? Does it make you more reclusive? You just stay in most of the time, or do you feel comfortable getting up?
I'm reclusive essentially by nature, but I don't have any problem going out. But if I go out at night, someone's with me. I will not go out at night alone.
Why is that specifically? What are you apprehensive about?
I don't know what I would do if I were triggered. And it can be a sight, a sound, a smell, a word, a song, a touch, or a mental image.
How does all of this differ from what we hear about post-traumatic stress syndrome?
About what?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome. How does this differ from that?
It doesn't, really. I have severe PTSD, but I've learned how it affects me when I'm conscious. And I put that caveat in there because I don't know what I would do if I were in an altar. Come here, Spike. Come here, bud. Hang on a minute. I got to fix one of my little dogs. He had a weed on his tail.
I see.
I know how it affects me when I'm conscious. And because I did a lot of studying and research on it, and I had the EMDR, which is eye movement disassociation reprocessing, but that only lasts 3 years. And when I first moved up here 10 years ago, something would trigger me, and I would come to my house, close the drapes, bring my dogs in, get some toys, and sit around. Nothing ever happened.
What kind of toys?
Oh, shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Pistol. Sword.
So,
arrow.
You were, at that point, thinking that or feeling that you might be under imminent threat, but then nothing ever happened. We have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we'll take more of your telephone calls. If you have questions or comments for Dave Corso, let you know the numbers. We'll be back right after this. Talking with Dave Corso, and the telephone numbers, the main number here in the studio, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. Dave, I have a flash message here from, I guess it's pronounced Jute, J-O-O-T. I assume that's Jute. And Jute is writing us from Suriname. I think that's the first one I've gotten from there. He wants to know, I don't know if Jute is male or female, but Jute wants to know if the Super Soldier program is still in effect, why don't they send them to get Osama bin Laden?
It's simple. He died in December of 2001.
What makes you think he's dead?
Because there's nothing to make me think he's alive.
What about the videotapes that come out and the audio tapes?
They've been proven to be mere propaganda.
Okay, but who's doing them?
The same ones, in my opinion, the same ones that created 9-1-1.
Okay, so you think Osama is dead. Why? What would be the benefit of our government and military continuing to talk about, you know, that they need to capture Osama?
Convenient boogeyman.
So with that...
Convenient boogey. Someone to blame on that they can't find.
And so then it's your opinion that... I'm assuming that the reason they're doing that is if everyone knew that Osama was dead, then the war would have to end, and there would be billions of dollars lost to the contractors. The reason I say I assume that would be your theory is I've heard that theory. Would that be in line with what you think?
Yes. And it's like this thing called Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
There is no group called Al-Qaeda. It's the name of a government database put together by the CIA, NSA, MI5, and whoever. It's a convenient name to throw out there to terrorize people so they just become even more willing sheep.
Well, it is true that Al-Qaeda means the database or the base. And it is true that its origin was a CIA computer. It was a database kept on a CIA computer. Now, I'm saying it is true. I have to be honest and say that is what I have seen in a couple of documentaries. All right, so what about Osama's running buddies, the people that hang out with Osama? Why would they go along with the secret?
Have you ever heard of money buys silence?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I have.
Now, of all these trillions and billions of dollars they pour into foreign aid, how much do you think really goes to helping the people in that country?
Not much.
Thank you.
Not much. You know, when I was in Albania during the bombing of Yugoslavia, and I was sent to Albania, the port was so full, the dock was so full of aid that had come in from all over the world for these poor Albanian refugees, who, by the way, most of them were spending all day spending money in the restaurants and shops. Very few of them actually went to refugee camps. They rented houses, and they were in apartments and hotel rooms, and they had money. And there were some that were in the refugee camps, but very few in Albania. That's why you never saw anything about the poor refugees in Albania on television. You always saw the camps that were at the Macedonian border. In Albania, they had money. So what happened to all that aid? Well, once they finally got it shipped off of the dock so that the ships could unload some more, it was found that aid was, a lot of it, was being sold in the black market. The people actually didn't need it, and they were just selling it in the black market. A lot of the flour that came in was going to the bakery shops. And, you know, it was supposed to be flour for families. Well, it went to the bakery shops, a lot of it. So I've seen that in action. I've seen that happen. There's a report out, Dave, just this week. In fact, I think just yesterday, about the UN is very concerned because they say that most of the aid going to Somalia isn't getting to the people. And, you know, I saw that report. I thought, like, you're surprised? I mean, you know, come on. The UN's been in this business a long time. And they should know by now that that happens. That does happen. All right, so you think that Osama is dead since 2001. How did he die?
I guess he probably died because he had bad kidneys.
So you don't think we got him?
No.
Now, how surprised will you be if next week they come up with Osama bin Laden and they capture him alive? Will that surprise you?
Well, it'd be as much a surprise as it was that the double that they executed for the dictator in Iraq.
So you don't think Saddam Hussein was executed?
No, because the guy that was executed had messed up teeth. Saddam Hussein had flawless teeth.
Where do you think Saddam is?
That's a good question. He could be dead, or he could be living the life of Riley on somebody else. The real reason they went into Iraq was to make sure that he couldn't testify against the United States and other countries that gave him germ warfare and other things. Because he had no weapons of mass destruction. He destroyed them all like he said he did.
You know, the there's an FBI agent that interrogated him after he was captured, and I have seen him on television. He says that he asked Saddam, well, you know, why didn't you just cooperate and prove that you didn't have any weapons of mass destruction? And he says that the reason was he, number one, really didn't think the U.S. was going to invade. And secondly, it was kind of a Trump card, you know, kind of calling our bluff. I would say that was a very serious miscalculation on his part.
Yeah.
But apparently the FBI agent was satisfied that the guy he interrogated was Saddam Hussein, but you're saying that the guy that got executed was a substitute.
That's my personal opinion, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. I didn't think the guy looked that much like Saddam Hussein. I mean, he had the mustache. I didn't think he looked too much like him, other than the mustache and, you know, basic shape of the face and so forth. But I wondered at the time. You know, I wondered at the time. All right. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA and Canada, you can call us on the main number, which is 623-444-5889, or you can send me a flash message by going to my website, which gloriously is working, and click on the link that says flash message, and you can get your question or comment in front of my eyes that way, if you're outside of the USA and Canada. Dave, how did the Super Soldier program start?
It had to start. It had to start with Germany.
Why?
It's about genetics.
Okay.
Because. I have to think for a second. If you have a troop, a warrior, so to speak, who is stronger, faster, and has no compunction about killing whatever's in front of them, who is virtually indestructible, would that not make the perfect weapon?
Well, it certainly would make a good weapon, yeah. But the question that I have is, who started it?
Who's what? You're breaking up again.
Yeah, who started the Super Soldier program?
It had to be started with Paperclip when they brought all those scientists and other people over from Germany after World War II.
All right. So was it started, that's when it was started, but was it started by the German scientists?
No, it was started by American scientists here who were draining them all their information. Because they wanted to have, the United States wanted to have an invincible army.
But even a super soldier can be killed. They're not immortal.
No, they're not. But where it would take, it would not, if it, probably the only place you could shoot them would be in the head to kill them.
Why is that? Does a super soldier heal up like instantaneously if he gets shot?
No, but he would heal up rather quickly enough that it would not be much of a stopping point. That's my personal opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. So if you were going to shoot the guy, you have to shoot him in the head. What about if you shot him in the heart?
I would have to think that they would have body armor that would protect their bodies, the, you know, arms, legs, abdomen, so on and so forth. But still, you know, a shot to the head.
Does a super soldier feel pain?
I would have to believe that they don't feel pain like we do.
Okay. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. We are on Final Approach. My guest this evening, Dave Corso, and we're talking about super soldiers. Dave, just before we went to break, I asked you a question about pain. I asked if the super soldier doesn't feel pain, and your response caught me a little bit by surprise. You said, I would assume they don't feel pain like we do, but I thought you were a super soldier.
Well, I feel pain. They would have mechanisms in their brain enable them to block pain, whatever part of the body they have an injury in.
Okay, is this something that is present in current super soldiers that was not present in your generation of super soldiers?
I think it's much more refined and more, for the lack of a better term, user-friendly.
Okay. Enlighten me a little bit. What do you mean by user-friendly?
That they can call out, on their body to just simply ignore the pain like it wasn't there.
Okay. And that may be a little surprising to people, but I'll tell you this. I'm not a super soldier. But if you're going to do something to me and I have time to get my mind ready for it, I can shut the pain down. And I had eye surgery a number of years ago. I was 40 years old when I had the eye surgery, and I'm 56 now, so that's 16 years ago I had eye surgery. And there are people that can attest to this that were present at the time. And I did not, because of the fact that I was a police officer, actually a deputy sheriff at the time, and we had some things going on with some investigations I was involved in. I would not allow them to give me any kind of drugs to knock me out, and we had the eye surgery with nothing but local anesthesia, which means then that there was no painkiller whenever they injected local anesthesia into my eye. Mm. I was fully awake, and I was with the other eye looking up and watching them bring the scalpel down on the other eye. And so it was, and I did it, you know, I managed the pain. In Kosovo, no, in Bosnia, I was medevaced and had to have emergency surgery. They did use anesthesia to knock me out for the surgery. However, following the surgery, I refused all painkiller of any kind. And so, you know, I can do that and not be a super soldier. So I can only imagine that if they have enhanced that ability in a super soldier, I can imagine they could withstand virtually anything. Except, as you say, a headshot. Nobody is going to, nobody will manage a headshot. But what you're describing is basically the reaction that people have when they're on PCP. And that is they feel no pain whatsoever. I don't care if a person's on PCP and you're fighting him, no matter what you do to him, he will not feel pain. And I can tell you that is awesome. It, I know from personal experience, I've been there, done that. And they, no matter what you do, they don't feel pain. So if the super soldier is able to do that, then that kind of mimics the effect that people get off of PCP as well. Dave, how many super soldiers do you think there are?
I've heard there's over 15,000 of the fifth generation super soldier.
How reliable is your source on that?
I would say very reliable.
What is it, someone that is high enough ranking in the military to be in a position to know that?
High enough civilian.
High enough civilian. So there are civilians are involved in the super soldier program as well, right?
Doctors, nurses, and psychologists, psychiatrists.
What?
Neurologist.
Mm-hmm. What happens if a super soldier is coming unwound mentally?
Beg pardon?
If a super soldier is coming unwound mentally, what do they do with that? How do they handle that?
They kill it.
Do you know personally of cases where that's happened?
No, only things that I have read from a questionable source. But by the same token, it makes sense. It's like if you have a pet that goes wild, what do? You shoot it. And we're considered nothing more than animals.
How is it that you and Aaron and Duncan, if you're just considered animals, how is it that you've been able to be free to get out and speak about this?
Because they have too many people that call us liars, crazy, insane, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Pick on me. They can let somebody else alone.
All right. So what if large numbers of the public began to take seriously the things that you're saying? Would your life then be in danger?
I don't know. If it is, it is. If it isn't, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't worry you?
No.
Well, why not?
Because I just simply don't have time to worry about trivial things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply the way I am about that. If they want me, you know, they're going to have to earn it the old-fashioned way.
Do you resent having been put into the Super Soldier program?
No. But I do know my son was tested at SRI, and he didn't make their grade, but he tested at genius or above in 5 out of 7 categories, and near genius on the other 2.
But he didn't make the grade for the Super Soldier program?
Nope. He didn't do well in their testing.
Now, how would you feel about it? If your son was picked to go into the Super Soldier program, would you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Right now, I think it'd be a horrible thing.
All right. And why is that?
You know, to me, because to me, wars are the stupidest thing man has ever invented. When you take a look at the world today, China is doing with diplomacy what America and Israel are trying to do with a gun. And it's blowing up in their face.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you for being with me on the show. If you will, just stay on the telephone line with me for a moment as I bring the show to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you who did call in this evening, and pray for courage for the rest of you who couldn't find your fingers. But thank you so much for those who did call in and for those who sent us flash messages. And it is good to be back on the website again. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.